want to start off this morning's message by asking the question of you, am I a merciful person? And once again, when I say that, I don't mean, do you think I, Matthew, am a merciful person? I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I a merciful person? Think about that for a moment. Yes or no? Am I a merciful person? As you're thinking about that, and maybe to help you answer that question, think about this. Who have I neglected to care for in a time of great need? Who's someone in your life that maybe has needed you to meet some physical needs or needed you to sit with them in a time of struggle? Maybe someone who needs forgiveness from you that you've withheld. Who have I neglected to care for in a time of great need? And then a second question, or a third question, I guess. Who am I currently struggling to forgive? Who are some people that have maybe sinned against you, who have hurt you, who have failed to be there when you needed them the most? Maybe someone who's even hurt someone you love. Who is someone you are currently struggling to forgive? And then I want to circle back to the other question, the first question. Am I a merciful person? This morning, we're going to continue our Beatitude series in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And we're going to talk about what it means to be merciful people. Jesus says in this passage, "Blessed are the merciful." And so it seemed right that the end goal of today's sermon is for all of us to become more merciful person. That regardless of whether we answer that question yes or no, that we would leave here more merciful towards others. But our goal actually today is going to be slightly different. The goal is not to become merciful or to aim to become more merciful, but for all of us to grow in our awareness and our understanding of the great mercy that God has given us. To know that God has been merciful to us. For us to realize the depth of our sin, to realize all these times that we've struggled to be merciful to others, but to know without a doubt that God has been merciful to us, and to let that then change us moving forward. So with that said, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 for us this morning. If you brought your Bibles, that's great. You can begin turning to Matthew 5, 7. If you didn't, you should find a black Bible that looks similar to this, either in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor. And we encourage you to grab one of those and follow along as we read God's Word. If you've never been in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 before or anywhere in Matthew, that's okay. We're going to be on page 809 if you happen to grab the small print version. And if you grab the large print version, we'll be on page 962. And one final thing here, if you don't own a Bible, but you would like to, feel free to take the one that, the black one in front of you that you are holding now. It's our gift to you. We would love for you to have a copy of God's Word as you leave here. And I'll give you a little bit of time to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and then once again, I'll read it for us this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." As you study this beatitude this morning, the first thing we need to know is, what does Jesus mean by this word mercy, or what does it mean to be merciful? My guess is that most of us use the word grace more so than what we do mercy in our common language. We talk about giving grace to other people or receiving grace from others. We talk about how we need God to give us the grace we need each day. But rarely do we talk about mercy. Rarely do we talk about, you know, I really need to be a more merciful person to others, or I really need to show mercy to others, or I really need others to show mercy towards me. But before we discuss what exactly mercy does mean, I want to back up and quickly address what it does not mean. Mercy does not mean that we are just easygoing and tolerant towards sin. In other words, it doesn't mean that when someone sins against us or against God, that we just simply say, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. It's okay. You just go do your thing. I'll go do my thing. However you want to live your life, that's fine. I'll just live my life however I want to. It's all okay. I believe that is how our American society would love to define mercy, but it's not what it means in biblical terms. We need to keep in mind that whatever definition we come up with mercy or merciful also applies to God, that God is a merciful God. And as we see throughout Scripture, we know that God is not a God who is easygoing and tolerant towards sin. So let's look at two different verses from the Old Testament to see how the Bible defines mercy. And one thing here real quickly, the reason why we're going to Scripture is because Scripture is the best guide for us as we seek to define terms. I think so often we say, I don't know what this means, and so then you hear things in lessons and sermons and other Bible studies that say, Webster's Dictionary says that mercy means such and such. Well, Webster's not trying to define how the term was used 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago or 3,000 years ago when the biblical authors did this word. They're trying to define how the word is used today in the 20th century or 21st century. All right? So what we want to do is look at how Scripture defines the word mercy. And we see two passages up on the screen. There are hundreds. We're not going to take all the time to go through all of them. We're just going to go through these two here. But in Exodus 34, 6 through 7, Moses writes, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so there we see that merciful or being merciful or showing mercy involves some sort of action. So God forgives iniquity, and we see that it's tied to sin, that there is transgression, there's sin, there's iniquity that is tied to this concept of being merciful to others. The second passage comes from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 9, and the psalmist writes, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And so we see that mercy involves this disposition or this feeling, this attitude towards someone of having compassion. And so if we were to combine these two passages as well as the hundreds of others in Scripture that involve mercy, we would be able to come up with a definition that looks like this. That mercy is looking upon the miserable consequences of sin or the misery of sin and showing compassion by desiring to relieve the suffering. So that's quite a lengthy definition, but we see that mercy involves seeing someone or seeing a situation of misery due to the effects of sin. That someone has been hurt by sin or someone has committed sin themselves and is suffering the consequences of sin. And then it's having compassion or pity towards the offended person. So it invokes compassion, it invokes pity, it invokes feeling sorry for the person because of the consequences of sin that they are experiencing. But then we don't just walk away from the situation, but rather aim to relieve the suffering. And so if you see someone suffering because of sin, you say, you know what, I feel really bad for you. And then you just go right back to your day, that's not showing mercy. All right, that's the beginning stages of compassion, but mercy involves the compassion that leads to action. Mercy is what the Good Samaritan showed to the man who was beaten by the robbers. Not only did he feel sorry for this man who was taken advantage of, but he dressed this man's wounds. He took him with him. He provided a place for the man to stay and ensured that the innkeeper was able to take care of all the needs of this man. So now that we have this definition, the next thing we need to ask is, once again, are we merciful? Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. And we have seen over the last few weeks, if we have studied the Beatitudes, that we should want this blessing that God, that Jesus is promising. We should want to be blessed by God. So are we merciful people who will one day be blessed by God? In order to help us discern that, let us all consider the following questions. Am I compassionate or proud towards those who are suffering? Are you someone who, when you see the suffering of others, you tend to think, well, at least I'm not like that, or at least I didn't make those mistakes that they did, at least I'm not in that situation, or are you someone who is compassionate, generally, towards them? Are you gentle or tough-minded towards those abused by power? So those who are taking advantage of power, are you generally just like, well, I guess it's out of my control, or they probably are getting what they deserved, or that's just their lot in life? Or are you gentle? Do you seek to help them in their time of trouble? Am I generous or stingy towards those in need? As those need food, need clothing, need support, need prayer, need care, need you to be there. Are you generous with your time? Are you generous with your resources? Or are you a stingy person? Am I helpful or callous towards those who have walked away from Christ? Those who have maybe appeared like they had trusted in Jesus or were a part of a church and then left. Do you just tend to say, well, forget you. You were one of us and now you're not. You made your mistakes. Or are you one who runs after them, helps them, cares for them, encourages them to pursue Christ once again? Probably one of the tougher ones on the list, am I forgiving or hard-hearted towards those who have sinned against me? Are you quick to forgive those who have wronged you? Or do you tend to hold grudges? Do you tend to hold things against others? Do you tend to avoid people? Are you a bitter person? Or are you one who is quickly to offer mercy, to forgive them of their sin, to make things right? Finally, am I brokenhearted towards those who are far from Christ? Or am I content for them to spend eternity in hell? For those who have sinned against God, does that invoke mercy in you, compassion in you to see them saved? Or are you someone who's just, it doesn't affect you, it doesn't bother you? My guess is that as we honestly answer these questions this morning, we're going to see that we're not as merciful as we'd like to be. In fact, I would challenge that this following statement is probably more true of us than us being merciful people. That we would much rather give people what they deserve than give them mercy. Once again, that we would much rather give people what they deserve than give them mercy. We would much rather give blame for someone's suffering, saying it's because of your addictions, it's because of your poor choices, than we would show compassion. We would much rather label someone an illegal immigrant or a criminal than we would help them in their time of hardship. We would much rather spend our flexible income on ourselves than to be generous towards those in need. We would much rather pray for someone and walk away than invest and serve to alleviate their suffering. We would much rather hold on to grudges and hurts than forgive those who have sinned against us. And finally, we would much rather be comfortable and safe than to evangelize to those who don't know Christ. We show time and time again that we are often calloused, hard-hearted, and proud towards those who are in desperate need of mercy. And even when it does invoke this feeling of compassion within us, or pity or sorrow towards their need, we struggle to show mercy by taking action. Once again, you and I would much rather give people what they deserve than give them mercy. But thankfully, there is good news for us today. There's good news for us today in God's Word, because even though we would much rather give people what they deserve, there's someone who desires to show us mercy instead of giving us what we deserve. Our God in heaven sees us in our miserable state. He sees all of the sin in our lives. Not just the time that we fail to show mercy to others, but the times that we show jealousy, the times that we show pride, the times that we show selfishness and greed. He sees all of it. And not only does he see all of it, he experiences all of it. All of that is sin against him. It hurts him. It angers him. It grieves him. And he knows that apart from any action on his behalf, that we would suffer. That we would suffer greatly for all of eternity. He sees that you and I are without hope, that we are lost, that we are helpless, that we are doomed. And yet, instead of turning away from us in our miserable state, and instead of giving us what we deserve, God has compassion towards us. In fact, he has such great compassion and such great love towards us, even in our miserable state, that he's willing to send his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that our sins could be removed from us, so that we would no longer have to suffer for our sins because Christ has suffered for us. Church, that is mercy. That is the supreme example of what mercy looks like. Which brings us to the good news of the gospel this morning. That through Jesus, God gave us mercy instead of what our sins deserve. Once again, through Jesus, God gave us mercy instead of what our sins deserved. You and I deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. And yet on the cross, God withheld the punishment we deserve. Jesus bore our sins. It's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. When we were dead, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And I love this passage from Psalm 130, verses 3 through 4. The psalmist writes, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" If God were to count our sins, all of our sins against us, there is not one of us that could stand before the throne on the day of judgment and say, "I deserve to be with you. I deserve to enter heaven. I deserve, because of my good deeds, to have eternal life." None of us would be able to stand if the Lord were to count our sins against us. All of us would realize in that moment, we do not deserve eternal life. We do not deserve a relationship with God. We do not deserve anything good from him. But the psalmist goes on, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Even though we don't deserve it, God in his mercy is willing to offer us forgiveness. Even though you and I tend to give others what they deserve, God gives us mercy instead of what our sins deserve. What great news that is for us all today. As we look at the second part of the Beatitude this morning, we see, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." It would appear that there is a condition to God's mercy. It would appear like if we want to receive God's mercy, we first have to become merciful people. We have to be merciful to others. Elsewhere, Jesus taught us to pray to God to forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And therefore, once again, it would see, if we want to receive forgiveness from God, we first have to be forgiving people. We have to forgive others. But church, this is where it is really important for us to interpret Scripture, to interpret verses and passages in light of all the other verses and passages in Scripture. Because if we were to look at it all, we would see that in no way could it be true that God only gives us mercy if we give mercy to others, that God only forgives us if we do the work first of forgiving others. The rest of Scripture says that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our works, but rather it was a gift of God. The rest of Scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say while we were merciful to others, Christ died for us. It says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, if it were true that we only receive mercy when we are merciful, none of us would ever receive an ounce of mercy, because as we have seen, we would much rather give people what they deserve. So what does Jesus mean here in verse 7? Perhaps it's helpful to think of this statement, blessed are the merciful, as a middle statement. So it seems like there's two statements here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But it's probably more helpful for us to think of this as a middle statement. If we see the rest of Scripture, we would see that it is a middle statement. So look up with me at the screen here. So first, these come in order. If we have truly received mercy from God, and by that, I mean truly. I mean, we haven't faked it. We haven't gone before God and said, you know what, I need you to forgive me. And, you know, someone says that it'll take my sins away and I'm just doing this because they want me to. But if we truly have gone before God and said, God, I realize that I've sinned against you. I realize what an offense this is to you. I realize that there's no other way that I can be saved. I realize there's no other way that I can have a relationship apart from your son's work in my life. If we truly have received mercy from God for our sins, then we will, without a doubt, be merciful to others. The overflow of someone who has received the mercy of God is that they will then show that mercy to others. Their heart is changed. And we're not perfect. I think we all could see that there are times that we don't show mercy to others, but generally, we tend to show more compassion. We tend to pity the sin of others. We tend to grieve over the sin of others. We tend to show forgiveness to others. The order of the Beatitudes helps point that out. If we truly believe that we are poor in spirit, that we are utterly helpless and unrighteous before God, if we mourn our sin, realizing that it is an offense to God of the highest order and how it separates us from Him, if we are meek, humbly seeing ourselves for how we truly are, if we are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness that only God can give, asking God, I need you to fill me. I need you to clothe me in your righteousness. And if God fills us, not because of our works, but because of His free gift, if all of that has taken place, then does it not follow that our attitudes towards everyone else would be completely and entirely changed? If we begin to see, in light of all the sin that you have forgiven me of, God, you still are willing to give me mercy, then how can we not look at someone who has offended us and said, God has forgiven me of all of this. How can I not give you mercy for the ways you have offended and hurt me? If the very thing that I am upset with you about, I have done before God hundreds, if not thousands of times. If we understand that God has given us mercy for that, how can we not show it to those we love, to those who have hurt us? Seeing how they have been duped and tricked and deceived by the same enemy that we have, and desiring for them to be delivered from the same hell and the same punishment that God has delivered us from. Once again, if we truly have received mercy from God, then the overflow of that is we will show mercy to others. Which then brings us to 3, which assures us that we will receive mercy when Christ returns. Not because we have now done a good work, but actually because of 1. 3 is true because of 1. If we truly have received mercy from God, we are assured that we are going to receive mercy when Christ returns. 2 is just the evidence. It's the evidence that we have received mercy from God. But 2 is also somewhat evidence of 3, that if we are people who have who are showing mercy towards others, who are compassionate towards others, who are attempting to alleviate their suffering, then it shows that we have been saved. There's no way we can, 2 can be possible without 1. Which then means that we are assured that one day we will receive mercy when Christ returns. But it's also worth quickly pointing out that the following is true. Let's go to the next slide. If we have not received mercy from God, so if we have faked it, if we've never gone before the Lord and asked for forgiveness, If we're trying to do this in our own good works, if we have not received mercy from God, then we will not be merciful to others. There's no possible way for us to be merciful to others apart from receiving God's mercy. And then number three is also true, which assures us that we will not receive mercy when Christ returns. If you are someone who does not show mercy to others, if you are someone who holds grudges, if you are someone who doesn't show compassion to those in need, if you are someone who doesn't care about the loss and always desires for others to get what is coming to them, especially those who sin against you, then realize today that that is evidence that you have not truly received mercy from God. And if you doubt that is true, I would encourage you to read Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant in which Jesus describes that exact same situation. The fruit bears witness to what is going on inside the heart. And so if that's true of you today, then my encouragement is to see your sin for what a great offense it is before God. To realize that he's your only hope, and to come humbly before him and ask for mercy. But then to believe that God is willing to give you mercy for your sin. His desire is to not give you what you deserve for your sin, but to show compassion, to show mercy. If you are someone whose life is characterized by showing mercy to others, and praise God, there are many of you in this church, then Jesus' words here in Matthew 5:7 are just wonderful news for you this morning. They're an assurance that you have been forgiven and will be shown mercy when Christ returns. So my encouragement to you this morning is this: to believe that showing mercy to others for their sins is evidence we have received and will receive God's mercy for our sins. When we show mercy to others, it shows that God has given us mercy in the past, that he has created a new heart in us that longs and desires to show mercy to others. And it's a sign of the future that we will one day receive God's mercy for our sins as well. Once again, don't believe you will be shown mercy because of your good works. Believe that you are able to show mercy because God has first shown mercy to you. And because of the mercy he has shown you in the past and the mercy he will show you in the future, Jesus says, you are blessed. So now let's take a quick moment and talk about the fruit of this blessing. If we are believing that God has given us mercy instead of what our sins deserves, how should that change us moving forward? What's the overflow of that in our life? Well, real quickly, here are four signs that we have truly received God's mercy for our sins. And so as we believe the gospel more and more, as we believe that Jesus has given us mercy instead of what our sins deserve, here's what we should begin to see in our life. A deep sense of gratitude for the incredible mercy of God shown towards our sin. That as we come before God each and every day and realize more and more, just, man, do you realize how many times I sinned against you yesterday? Do you realize how many times I've sinned against you already this morning? Do you realize how many times I'm probably going to sin against you tomorrow? And that is true of us each and every day, and yet God's mercies are new every single morning. That we would begin to have this deep sense of gratitude over and over each day. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me mercy today instead of what my sins deserves. Tomorrow, God, thank you for giving me mercy today instead of what my sins deserve. The next day, God, thank you for giving me mercy again, even though my sins deserve so much worse. And as we have this deep sense of gratitude for what God is doing in our lives despite our sin, we would have a growing compassion for others and the effects of sin on their life. That we would stop treating them like their sins deserve. Because we would realize over and over how God treats us in light of our sin. That we'd have compassion, that we'd have pity, that we'd have sorrow for them. That instead of seeking their ill will, instead of seeking what they deserve, we would desire for them to be reconciled to God, to know God, to know His mercy, which is number three, a growing eagerness to show God's mercy when we are wronged, when others are wronged by sin. So not just this feeling of compassion, but taking action to show mercy to others. Either when they have wronged us, when they have sinned against us, or when others are wronged by sin. So just the consequences of sin in the world. People who are in poverty, people who are in need, but having a growing eagerness to show God's mercy to them. And then finally, we should see a decline in grudges and unforgiven sin in our relationships with others. Church, at First Baptist, we're to be characterized by people who have tons of grudges, who have broken relationships, who are unwilling to forgive others in the church for bitterness, then it's a sign that our church has forgotten the mercy of God. But if we are a church that is characterized by forgiveness, by grace, by healing, by seeking the good of others, by meeting needs, that we are a church that has fallen in love with God's mercy that He's shown to us. And once again, it starts with us remembering and realizing and believing over and over that God has chosen to give us mercy for our sin. My prayer this week is that as we reflect over and over and over again on the incredible mercy that God has shown us, that we would treasure Him all the more. That you and I would be grateful all the more. That we would love Him all the more. And that we would see that as we do that, that God is changing our hearts to show mercy to others, to forgive the wrongs that others have committed against us, to meet the needs of others, and to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus, that all of them likewise might know this great mercy of God and be blessed. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that You are a God who does not treat us as our sins deserve. That You are a God full of mercy and compassion. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would be working in all of us here this morning to experience that, to experience Your great mercy despite our great sin. That we would believe that You are a God who desires to show us mercy instead of giving us what our sins deserve. We would come humbly before You each day, seeking that mercy that You give. And Father, as we grow in our love for You, as we grow in our thankfulness for what You've done, Father, would the overflow of that be people, a church, a nation, a world that desires for others to know Your mercy as well. That we would be people who desire to bring healing to relationships, to offer forgiveness for sins against us, to meet the needs of others, and to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. Father, our great desire is that many would know Your mercy, and that they would be blessed. We thank You. We thank You that we can call ourselves blessed today because of the mercy You have given us through Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.